Assalamu alaikum, good morning, namaste and sat sri akal on this wonderful Friday morning. It's been very, very, very cold, and I'll tell you one thing, I find it very, very hard to keep my toes warm, and last night I had to have the fire on just to keep warm. Good morning anyway. You're probably expecting Junaid with his Friday breakfast show. Unfortunately, he's not here today, and it's me, Qasir Mahmood, that you're going to have to put up with. And today is going to be slightly different as well, even though it's a breakfast show. It's a very important time of the year for Muslims. Today is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and it's many Muslim people around the world will be celebrating the birth of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And there will also be some Muslims that won't be celebrating this, because there are some different viewpoints on whether this occasion should be celebrated or not. But however, I'm going to leave the discussions and the theology behind it to those that are knowledgeable, and I cannot claim that I have that knowledge whatsoever. However, I will talk a little bit about Islam, especially for younger people, and for those people that maybe are not Muslims or who are maybe learning about Islam and want to know a little bit more about it, or for our younger audience who are usually up on a Friday morning getting ready for school, and mums and dads and uncles and aunts and grandmas and granddads and cousins and older brothers and sisters are preparing breakfast and the cornflakes and the toast and the jam and the croissants and the maybe even parathas, who knows, getting those things ready this morning before school. And no doubt those that are older, those that are preparing for their GCSEs, will probably be getting ready for mock exams, and it is a highly, highly stressful for young people, especially those that are in year 11, because those mock results will count towards places in colleges, and the teacher assessments and the mock results will go towards you know, places and offers that have been made. So the estimates and the attainment targets are something that some of our young people will be particularly interested in. Well, we're going to start this morning with the names of Allah. And Allah is it means God. It's the Arabic word for God. And God has many attributes. And these attributes represent God's different ways of demonstrating God's existence, I suppose. And there are in Islam 99 attributes and 99 names, and they are glorified names. So we will start off with those this morning, and you can have a listen to those, and then I'll be back straight after that.
يا ربي أنت الرحمن يا ربي أنت الرحيم يا ربي أنت الملك القدوس يا ربي أنت السلام يا ربي أنت المؤمن يا ربي أنت المهيمن يا ربي أنت العزيز يا ربي أنت الجبار يا ربي أنت المتكبر يا ربي أنت الخالق يا ربي أنت البارئ يا ربي أنت المصور يا ربي أنت الغفار يا ربي أنت القهار وهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المدل السميع البصير الحكم العدل اللطيف الخبير الحليم العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيت حسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب يا ربي أنت المجيب الواسع يا ربي أنت الحكيم الودود يا ربي أنت المجيد الباعث يا ربي أنت الشهيد الحق يا ربي أنت الوكيل القوي يا ربي أنت المتين الولي يا ربي أنت الحميد المحصي يا ربي أنت المبدئ المعيد يا ربي أنت المحيي المميت يا ربي أنت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الصمد القادر المقتدر مقدم المؤخر الأول الآخر الظاهر الباطن الوالي المتعال البر التواب منتقم العفو الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام المقسط الجامع الغني المغني المانع يا ربي أنت الضار يا ربي أنت النافع يا ربي أنت النور يا ربي أنت الهادي يا ربي أنت البديع يا ربي أنت الباقي يا ربي أنت الوارث يا ربي أنت الرشيد يا ربي أنت الصبور يا ربي أنت الصبور
Those were the beautiful and glorious 99 names of Allah, and include attributes such as the Pardoner, the Just, the Final, the Most High, the Learned, the First, the Greatest, the Most Mighty, the Introducer, the Resurrector, the Manifester, the Benevolent, the Perceiving, the Expander, the Transcendental, having majesty and splendor, the Inventor, the Judge, the Forgiving, the Victor, the Bounteous, the Preserver, the Knowledgeable, the Patient, the Praiseworthy, the Calculating, the Eternal Living, the Dignified, the Grandest, the Demeaning, the Glorious, the King, the Steadfast, the Supporter, the Delayer, the Protector, the Life-Giver, the Honour-Giving. And these are just some of those 99 attributes and that kind of support what God is about. And these are the 99 names again by Omar Issa. Maybe you want to close your eyes and just take a moment to reflect and feel the names.
Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim, Al-Malikus, As-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, المصور الغفار القهار الوحّاح الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض البصير الخافض سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الرافع المعيس المدهير السميع المسيح الحكم الأدل الذي الحبيب الحليم الذي الغفور الشكور الذي سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الخبير الحفيظ المكيف الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الحكيم الودود المجيد البايف الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحسي المبدي المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الأحد الصمد سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله المقتدي المقدم
عمر إيسا with the beautiful 99 names and attributes of Allah. Islam is the second largest religion in Britain and the world, and more than 1 billion people follow Islam, and it is the fastest growing religion and has been for a while. And for those of you that don't know, followers of Islam are called Muslims, and Islam is over 1400 years old. It dates back to the 7th century, and it began in what is now called Saudi Arabia. And the Arabic word for God is Allah. And the word Islam means submission to God's will and obedience to God's law. And it comes from an old Arabic word, which means peace. Now, you might find that difficult to believe in the current climate. Islam is about peace, especially when we see what's going on around the world and the things and the atrocities that are attributed to Islam, and which is very, very sad. And it's for our young people, young Muslims out there, particularly children in schools, when they're there and they're trying to talk about the beauty of Islam and the positivity of Islam and the peaceful nature of Islam, it's very, very difficult to then kind of see the images that are put out on the media screens and things that are going on, and for people to say, oh, well, how can your religion be peaceful when all of this is going on? And it's going through a very difficult time at this moment in time, but we'll come and talk on that in a few minutes.
والحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحيم نبينا الآمر الناهي فلا أحد أبر من قول لا منه ولا نعام دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به مستمسكون بحبل غير منفصم الصلاة والسلام على الرسول المصطفى الصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديام أكرم بخلق نبي زنه خلق بالحسن مشتمل بالبشر متسم كالزهر في ترف والبدر في شرف والبحر في كرم والدهر في همم نبينا الآمر الناهي فلا أحد أبر من قولنا منه ولا نعام دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون
Muslims follow the holy scriptures, which are encapsulated in the Quran, and Muslims believe that it is God's word spoken by the angel Gabriel and passed on to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Whenever Muslims say the name of the Prophet, they always add the attribute peace and blessings be upon him. In fact, they don't just say that about the Prophet Muhammad. They will say that about Moses or Jesus or Adam or Jacob or Abraham. And all of these are what Muslims would class as prophets, and Muslims follow those teachings. There is only one version of the Quran, and it was written in Arabic, and Muslims believe that it hasn't changed at all since it was first written, which was approximately 1400 years ago. Besides the Quran, Muslims follow something called the Hadiths, and they're kind of the narrations and the actions of the Prophet, which guides Muslims on how to put the teachings of the Quran into practice. Now, if you read the Quran, or if you read the translation of the Quran, it's actually not as straightforward as, let's say, the Bible, which is split into various books, and you follow stories in there, and what happens in the Quran, you will find references to the Torah, the holy book for Jewish people, or the Bible as well, and it will refer back and it will say something on the lines of, do you not remember the story of, and it may not actually tell you the story, but it is actually saying that go back to those previous stories and take lessons from those stories. However, to be a Muslim, you have to have sort of five essential core things that you need to do. So Muslims believe that every single thing you do in life, it should be done for Allah, for God. Muslims believe in heaven and hell, just like Jews and Christians and many of the faiths around the world. And when you die, you face the Day of Judgment, and you're resurrected, and you pay, I suppose, for your good deeds and bad deeds, and almost like a weighing scale. And if your good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then you will possibly go to heaven. So very similar to others' religious beliefs. However, there are five pillars or duties to fulfill, and Muslims, if they want to be called Muslims, need to fulfill these five pillars, because that's kind of what makes a Muslim. So to be a Muslim, you have to first of all say the Shahada, which is the declaration of faith, by saying that there is no God but Allah, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, is his messenger. And this is kind of the core belief of Islam. If you do not believe in God, or one God, and if you don't believe that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was a messenger sent by God to help us human beings, then essentially you can't be a Muslim. The second pillar that sort of Islam stands on, or Muslims need to kind of follow, is prayer, so Salah. And there are five set times in the day when Muslims should pray. And these times are attributed by where the sun is during the day. So you might be one prayer will be sort of sunrise time, and one prayer will be midday, and so on. And one will be sort of in the evening, just after the sun has set. So calendars are produced, timetables are produced by various mosques up and down the country, which tell you when certain prayer times are. And so Muslims will pray five times a day. Muslims can pray anywhere, they don't have to go to mosque. However, when they do pray, they will face Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Prior to, Muslims used to face Jerusalem. And that's why Jerusalem is such an important place for Muslims, as well as Christians and Jews. And maybe the tensions in that area are due to these three faiths holding the religion so important to themselves. The third sort of attribute for Muslims is giving to charity. Muslims have to give at least 2.5% of their wealth to charity. Now, what happens if you don't earn anything? Well, you may have some savings, so give 2.5% of your savings. Well, what if you don't have any savings? Well, you might be a farmer, so give 2.5% of your crops to charity. So there are many, many ways of giving. So being charitable is very, very important for a Muslim. The next attribute, or the pillar for Muslims, is fasting. Many religions and many faiths around the world do have an element of fasting. So, for example, in Christianity, there's Lent, and there's fasting in Buddhism, there's fasting in Hinduism, there's fasting in Judaism. So in Islam, during the holy month of Ramadan, Muslims are expected to fast from dawn to sunset. So this means there's no eating or drinking of anything, and it lasts approximately 30 days for the month. And during the night time, you know, don't get worried, don't think, well, how can you survive not eating or drinking for 30 days? It's more to do with not eating during daylight hours. And this the month of fasting is ended with a huge, big, massive feast where everybody joins in and families get together and celebrate the end of the month of Ramadan. And finally, the final sort of pillar is performing a pilgrimage, which Muslims called Hajj. And it's a journey to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. And all Muslims should make the pilgrimage, or attempt to make it at least once in their life, if they can afford it and if they are physically able to do so. And there's lots of rituals that people perform along the journey, including drinking water from the holy well, which is called Zamzam, and throwing stones at pillars, which represent the devil. And the final part of the pilgrimage is going around a cube which is draped with a black cloth called the Kaaba, and this is in the center of the Great Mosque in Mecca. And the Kaaba represents a mosque or a shrine that was built by Abraham for God. So again, that links Judaism, Christianity and Islam together with the rituals that Muslims will perform. So they're not necessarily reflecting, remembering the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, but they might be celebrating something that Abraham did, something that Isaac did, or something that another prophet did, which may appear in another holy book. All prophets are venerated in Islam, whether they're in different books, for example, the Bible or the Torah. For example, Mary is highly venerated in Islam, as is Jesus. And there are lots of things that Muslims believe. They believe that Jesus was born of a virgin birth from Mary. They believe, for example, that Jesus was resurrected. So they believe in that as well. So there are lots of different sort of beliefs which go across the different faiths.